I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Episode 64 of the Premier Non-League Podcast, brought to you by Tackle This Together. In the room tonight, myself, James. Who else is there? Who's saying? Who's checking in?
Hi, James.
Chris is here.
Who is that? Hi, James from.
Hi, James.
I don't know who he is. Is that Ian? Hi, Ian. And Trev's there. And Pete, Silent Pete.
Pete, I'm here.
Hello. Oh, his computer's actually turned on because I dropped him off from the committee meeting at Werburn FC about 20 minutes ago, and I've been home for 10 minutes and been in the room for 10 minutes, and he said the hamster wheel is probably turning as he turns his computer on. But we're back. It's nice that we're in the warmth of our houses this week, because 2 weeks ago when you heard my dulcet tones, it was peeing with rain down at Cheltenham. We scored a worldie, which won the game.
Cheltenham.
There's too many Chelmsford and then Chippenham. Chelmsford, we scored a worldie through Jack Wadham, who was on loan, and then we've lost every game since. So that'll be a subject we can talk about later. But how are we doing, chaps? We okay?
Yeah,
pretty well.
Are we all happy with what's going on in our non-league world?
Yeah.
Well, I know Trevor's unhappy because he's lost his favourite player, Marvin Armstrong.
Marvin's not my favourite.
Yeah, said through sarcasm there. But this weekend is a non-league day, which is fantastic, because why is it non-league day again? Is it because England are playing? Is it international weekend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, international weekend. So it happens every year. And I don't even know they're a charity. I mean, we'll find out, because I know Trev and Chris sat down with them. But guys, what are your sort of experience of a non-league day?
Normally Barnet are away. Literally Every non-league day. And we're actually at home this weekend, and we're not doing much for it, as far as I know.
Chris?
My experience of it, one of them, Football Focus, attended, and you get more through the gate. But on both, with the last two Shields have been at home, the football on the pitch has kind of stunk the place out, which has been really disappointing. You've got bigger crowds, but the football let it down. But there's been some good days, obviously, with one of them being on the TV, and Shields always have little offers here and there, with, you know, pound off a pint or whatever, like happy hours now and again. So always do it all right. It's just the football on the pitch that's let it down.
Yeah. Pete, how about yourself, mate? Have you? Because I don't think we had the home. It's normally
Chesant,
wasn't it? Is it Chesant when you pay whatever you want?
Yeah, I think it was Chesant, yeah. But yeah, this is my first one at home, as far as I can remember.
Well, we're not even actually playing on non-league day this year, because we're actually on TNT Sports this weekend.
let's encompass the whole weekend, shall we?
Non-league weekend. I mean, so Trev, who did you sit down with? What's the chap's name?
Ian Bailey.
Ian Bailey, and he was the founder of non-league day.
No, he's James Doe was the founder. Ian's just joined along, and there's four of them that do all the organising.
Fantastic. And I know I've seen on their website, got some fantastic shirts and merchandise. So if you have got a spare few quid in your pocket, do go and support them even more. But I think without further ado, Chris and Trev sat down when me and Pete were being committee members at Werburn FC this evening. So over to you guys for a great interview.
Are you PNLP?
We're pleased to be joined this evening by Ian Bailey. Ian, welcome to the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Thank you. And thank you for inviting me.
Well, we thought it rather topical to have you on, and the show we record on a Monday actually comes out on the Friday, so we'll make sure we get you to drop enough links in of where people can find games and stuff. But it's something that's really grown, hasn't it, from a little Facebook group that James Doe started in 2010. So how did you become involved?
I first became aware, I think, in 2011, and Mike Bailey, who was one of the guys who started it with James, or soon joined James, put out an ad or a tweet somewhere and said he'd looking for people to help. And I've always had an interest in non-league football and offered my services probably about 7 or 8 years ago now, and sort of got swept up in it and been going along ever since. So it's part of the madcap time of getting people aware of non-league day and getting others to get involved with helping us promote it.
Are you amazed at how far it's grown in the, well, in the, what, 14th year this will be, won't it?
Yes, it's helped by us getting for getting people like the Premier League involved. We get a lot of interest and assistance from league clubs, actually. Even today, Hull City put out a big piece on their website promoting local games in their area. So any publicity is good publicity. And this year, James, a matter of 2 or 3 weeks ago, got Southwest Trains involved. So
yes,
those who are on the Southwest Trains lines will see it not only on the display boards, but at posters at the entrances to stations. Visit your local non-league team.
I think it just goes to show as well the growth of the non-league game as well, especially over the last, I think, 4 or 5 years as well. A lot of people are being priced out of the game at the top level and are starting to come down and find that the non-league's just not a game of kick and brush and get it out the other end as quick as possible. You get some good football and also some nice facilities too.
Yes, it's the old adage of you can wander around, you can have a drink, you can talk to someone, or you can wander off, and at most grounds, you could take your dog if you wanted to. I think COVID had part of it as well. I think a lot of people could get and stand 2 metres apart from someone at a non-league game rather than not sit at a Premier League game or attend a local championship or League One, League Two game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those people have stayed as well, you know, during that time rather than go back to those levels as well.
Yes, it's getting the people going back, which is the real key for local league, non-league teams. This year, unfortunately, recently, the weather hasn't helped. Mm-hmm. We're going to have an influx of a lot of games over a short period of time coming up, which may or may not help people.
Now, the net's been cast a little bit wider, hasn't it, as far as Spain with Athletic Bilbao. Do you want to fill us in on what happened there exactly?
Yes, I think that happened over Facebook 2 years ago. James got a message from the guys at Athletic Bilbao saying, what's going on with this non-league day? We'd like to sort something. Last year, four of us who manage non-league day went over to Bilbao. They ran a successful non-league day in their area with a lot of local teams having matches in and around the non-league day and the weekend, the Saturday and the Sunday. They do have links where they've played with clubs in the UK many years ago. So Corinthian Casuals, Dulwich Hamlets, I can't remember the list of the other teams, but I know it's on there. They put a tweet out recently of clubs that they're going to set matches up with. And this year they're holding an event on the Sunday with lots of local non-league teams in the Basque area playing. And there are, as far as I'm aware, last year there were prizes of raffle prizes of signed shirts, match tickets, and other goodies handed out by Athletic.
Brilliant. Has it sort of given James a bit of an idea to take it to some other countries as well? Maybe now there's a little bit of foreign interest.
It's been already running in France, Germany. They run their own versions over the past few years. It has grown. There are other clubs in Spain who've suddenly twigged, oh, that was a good idea. Let's get us involved and let's get our local teams. Athletic are a strange breed. In fact, that players who play for Athletic have to be from the Basque region or have a Basque parentage. So it's not quite a scouting exercise for them, but it does promote awareness of the club in the region.
Brilliant. It's good as well, because obviously, you know, if we go back quite a few years in our game, non-league was where clubs would look for talent, and they are starting to do it again. But, you know, it's good to hear that clubs of that size of, you know, Bilbao as well, are doing exactly the same kind of thing.
Yes, you get them going up, and you also get them going down. When you look, for example, one I saw the other week, I was at a game at watching Skelmersdale at Charnock Richard, and Pascal Chimbonda playing.
Yeah, you're not wrong there either. Now, it's the 10th year as well of supporting prostate cancer, and the National League clubs are actually supporting it a bit more this weekend as well.
Yes, Vanarama National League are promoting, I think, 10 matches over the weekend. They've started receiving promotional packs of pennants, other handouts from Prostate Cancer UK at those clubs, which I saw one today land. And they are featuring, as I say, 10 matches across the whole spectrum. I'm trying to think. I think it was Newport that I saw receive their information earlier today. They do like to get their name out there. It helps with publicity for prostate cancer. It helps with awareness, and also with their sort of lead person in the media of Jeff Stelling, who promotes of the prostate cancer charity, following his days on Soccer AM. And I think it's one of the cameramen who suffered from prostate cancer.
Yes, I think you're right.
And that's how it actually kicked off. And I believe, and don't hold me to this, but I think Jeff Stelling's going to be at the Eastleigh v Hartlepool match, which is on non-league day.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Jeff was at the Hive first day, opening day of the season when we hosted Hartlepool. So yeah, he does get around a lot of the National League games. Now he hasn't got his soccer Saturday. are you guys kind of a little bit slightly disappointed that the FA aren't more involved, and that maybe the leagues, you know, the clubs seem to be doing a fair bit, that the leagues aren't sort of like really jumping on it and saying, right, you know, let's do this as a collective?
If you're talking in terms of the bigger leagues, so if we start off with the Premier League, I managed to get us in with the Premier League, and you will see coming out this week a lot of promotional videos on Premier League website.
Brilliant.
We've had, and I hope it got filmed, but I'm not certain. I know Mick, the plan was to get Mikel Antonio back down to Tooting and Mitcham to do a piece.
Wonderful.
There was another piece film being done at Dunkirk in the Midlands. And these will be coming out from the Premier League, and we get a lot of support pushing non-league day to the clubs. We have approached the Football League in the past, and they said, well, we think it should be left to the clubs to do it. So we've taken the opportunity to contact all the league clubs who aren't playing on non-league day, because obviously League One and League Two do have some matches. The feedback is variable. Some jump on it straight away, be it QPR, Huddersfield, Leeds, Hull, instant replies. Yes, send us stuff, we'll promote it. So I think it will be on the websites. Hull City, as I mentioned earlier, was on their website today, being Monday. And also there was a feature in their programme last Tuesday, the match v Birmingham City. Two pages promoting local clubs to Hull. In terms of the FA, I don't think it's the FA's remit, because they're sort of sitting in above as a managing authority or an overseeing authority. But we do get the leagues, the lower leagues, be it the Southern League, the Isthmian League, all promoting non-league day. If they are listening to this and they want to get involved, get in touch with us.
Absolutely. It's great. A lot of the pro clubs are starting to get that a little bit more involved, especially as they haven't got a game at the weekend. People will still want to go and watch a bit of football as well, don't they? There's always plenty on their doorstep.
Yeah. I mean, Huddersfield used to use, in the past couple of years, have used non-league day to promote getting their supporters to watching where they've got either youth players or more senior players out on loan.
Great idea.
Go and see X. He's one of our players. He's playing at. So it keeps the link with the club, but also gets them to another match.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And what I thought was great was when I opened the non-league paper on Sunday, as we're recording on Monday, and straight off the first two pages are about non-league day, but It was more about the amount of offers that clubs are doing. It's the most, I think, I've ever seen.
Yeah. It started, well, it did start when we promoted, when we formally announced the date for Non-League Day, that some clubs say, oh, yeah, we're doing this, we're doing that.
Yeah.
This, today, has it's been a plethora of tweets going out of various things, be it pay what you want, be it family price tickets, be it, you know, get a burger, a drink, and admission for a set price. There are others running things for charity. For example, Hassocks are, if you bring a tin for their food bank, you get in half price on non-league day. So there are other enterprises like that. There is a, as I say, it's a tremendous number, and I think it is the highest we've ever seen in the recent years.
Yeah, I think I'd say I'd definitely go along with that. Some of the offers I've seen have been absolutely, you know, brilliant. And again, it, but clubs don't have to stick to just non-league day, do they, to put their own offers on?
No, there's it's this is a vehicle to encourage it. It's promoting it. It does take a lot of kicking and screaming and hard work from James, Elsa, Francis, and myself to get this to this extent of publicising it. We've got, I believe, Football Focus are going to Leamington Spa on Saturday
wonderful.
And promoting from there.
Brilliant.
Last year they were at South Shields and did a great job from there.
Yep.
Again, we don't get anything back from them. They don't come to us to ask for anything, but we know they do. I think they pick up on the threads of let's go somewhere and do it. We've also got the international matches happening this weekend. So clubs, particularly around Wembley, are doing promotions. Be it,
apart, you know, apart from my very own, Ian, which is two stops down the tube line.
Yeah, so it's be it half price, you know, if you show your England ticket and then toddle off to Wembley.
Now, if anybody's listening to this on Friday evening, Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, and they're looking for a game to go to on Saturday, where can they find a definitive guide, Ian?
On our website, which is nonleagueday.co.uk, there is a match finder. Check it, and then just check with the clubs on Twitter or on their website the kickoff time. Some do move. We've been as accurate as we can getting the information on there. It does give you a link to what it says, what league it's in. So that's as up to date as James could make it when he was last tinkering with the map, which was probably today.
That's brilliant. And on behalf of all of you guys, thank you for the work you do to put in to get this going. It's all, you know, like having grown from something that's probably like a tiny acorn, we're looking at probably about seven oak trees now.
Yes. The feedback we get is clubs do get extra footfall through the turnstiles. It's a tremendous effort from everyone involved to get this far. And we hope that the clubs feel the benefit of what it does. It's up to them to make it what they want. You know, if they don't want to join in, fine. But there are benefits for getting publicity for nothing and getting people through the turnstiles.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the name of the game. The extra income, the extra people, and get them coming back again.
Yes. We've got events happening all over the country. We want people to get through, get enjoy, out there, get enjoy it. And hopefully we can have some decent weather. We're not going to have lots of games rained off, and we're going to be all out in the sunshine and having a nice drink while we're watching a match.
That's the dream, isn't it? That's the dream. Ian, thank you very much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Will anyone find you at a game anywhere on Saturday?
On non-league day, yes, they will find me at a game. My plan is to go to Oakhampton on Friday night. They've got the Premier League trophy going there down there that day.
Wow.
And then on Saturday, I'm going to aim to get to Mousel down in the far southwest and tick off that final game in that division.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you see a few goals in both the games you're going to. And once again, Ian, thank you very much for coming on this evening.
No problem. Thank you for helping promote the day. And I hope you enjoy your games wherever you end up.
RUPNLP.
Interesting interview there, guys. It's always good to get guests on the show, and you know, with such a good course. So if you are listening to this podcast for the first time and you support a football league or a Premier League club and you're not playing this weekend, you can't really be bothered with England or any of the internationals, get down to your local non-league club. Put a bit of money. We've seen these clubs, sadly, in financial difficulty all the time, just put a little bit of money into the bank and enjoy it. Or stay at home on Sunday and watch Worthing FC on TV, eh, Pete? Well, you might regret that decision the way we're playing at the moment. But anyway. One thing I wanted to bring up, as I said it in the group tonight, is there was a sort of viral post went round from Oxford City this week in the National League South. They played away at Chesterfield. Now, Chesterfield on a weeknight is obviously a long way to go from Oxford. But if you haven't seen it, I'm sure it's on Twitter. It's not that long, really. No, it's not. But, you know, it's not huge distance. But, I mean, the way Oxford are playing, I think they're not relegated yet, are they? But they're near as damn it down into the... Well, we could be the National North replacing Bishop Stortford, who already are relegated. But it was a load. They didn't open any catering facilities for beers. And they basically got some teas and biscuits for free, which is fair enough, and put them in a little room. Fans. Now, I know us in this room, we all like a beer when we go to the football. You must, I think it's a bit of an insult to, I mean, they should have at least had, you know, they could have put one or two members of staff in there. It's not, if they're already expecting 40, 50 fans, even put one member of staff in there. What do you guys take on that?
We had 14 fans from Fylde in October. Yep. We didn't like put them anywhere silly, I don't think, but they still had access to food and drink. There was no flipping chuck them in a room. That was County League stuff, cupcakes and coffee in a ballroom.
Someone's run down to Lidl and got some fairy cakes or something, haven't they?
I think Tesco's is closer to them.
Oh, is it Tesco's? Yeah. Okay. Even better choice. Oh, no, maybe not.
Yeah, it's an insult to do that. I mean, yeah, they've got some free stuff, but no matter where you go, you should have access to refreshments that you can buy. No, we were at Scarborough a few weeks ago and we had no access to any alcohol. Yes, there was some. Yeah, they did put on. There was a food van and things. So yes, we like a pint. Not everybody does, but at least there was the food wagon and we get a soft drink. But to have that is an insult.
We could have at least given them access to a home end or something. Because if it's only that many, and I don't think Oxford are going to cause a riot at Chesterfield, to be honest.
No, that's unlikely, isn't it?
Pete, how about you? What were your thoughts on seeing that?
How many did they take?
40, 42.
40, 42. Yeah, they could have done a lot more than that, even some like ham rolls or something like that, but cupcake and a cup of tea.
But I don't get why they wouldn't have even bothered trying to sell stuff, because even they could have made 50, 100 quid, you know, easy cover wage for a couple of hours and, you know, a little bit more with beer money and...
£150 for a ham roll.
Yeah. Maybe Chesterfield have already got their eye on the EFL and just thought, well, next season we'll get, so they get 40, we'll get 400 away supporters and then we'll do something.
It's I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me. And I mean, it leads me to think, do you think clubs should be held accountable for this? Like we said about, you know, a certain standard and sort of guidance that clubs have to follow in terms of the way they perform, you know, present grounds, you know, ground grading and everything like that. We've gone on about ground grading quite a lot this season, but do you think this should be part of the ground grading? Like, should a club be fined for not providing adequate facilities?
Are there guidelines already in place?
I don't think they, because you'd think that would already have been fined if they were. I don't know, Trev.
I don't know. I mean, you get a fine at county league level if you don't offer hospitality to the opposing team's committee. So should work its way up the food chain, but yeah. I don't know if there's anything in place for something like that, but like we've all said, they should have just opened a frigging tea bar and, you know, put some cold boomers in the fridge or something. I don't know,
something
to offer.
So easy, and it's easy money. It's
Or do you think they've got away with any fines because they provided something? There needs to be a charter to provide a sufficient level, like some hot food, even like Bovril or something like that, you know, even things like that, you know, should there be a charter where I reckon they probably tick the box, oh, we've provided food and drink, we did it free of charge for them. Yeah, but it was biscuits, cakes and tea and coffee. Do you then say, it goes further and say, well, you know, you actually need to provide the travelling fan some facilities to hot food or, you know, a bit more substantial than a biscuit or a cake?
Yeah, there should be, because some people will just There's a lot of people out there who plan their day, get to the game probably half an hour before kickoff, park the car up, walk to the ground, and they're expecting to get their lubrication and their food in the ground, and at the final whistle, they'll straight back to the car and on the way home.
Mm.
They're expecting to be fed and watered. They don't want a bloody cupcake, do they?
I think the offering.
They didn't even stick a candle in it, did they?
I didn't. No, it was, well, maybe weren't somewhere anyone's birthday. But going down that route though, if you go to Eastleigh, if you're a home fan, you can get a cheeseburger. If you're a away fan, you can't. Pie or pasty. Why is it,
that's weird.
Why is it so different in the same ground?
Well, it's like Darlington. You know, we were segregated at Darlington in August, and there was a food outlet who basically charged what he wanted. So a home fan could have a burger for, say, £3. We were paying £9, you know.
That's weird.
Well, it's not weird. It's just robbery, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And the guy then at the end of the game just rubbed his price board because he was off somewhere else and charges what he wants.
Well, I think it's a little bit like when we played Oxford in the playoff semi-finals last year, because they segregated it and their facilities weren't really great for segregating. They didn't have any like actual facilities as such. Pete, I don't know if you were in the... I know you were commentating, but I don't know if you were in the away end section or did you go via the home section?
No, I walked into the away section.
Walked back out again.
Yeah, no, it's not this. I'm going for my prawn sandwich. But it was, they had a tent set up. They had a burger van, a tent set up that was selling bottles of beer and stuff. And, you know, they made the money out of it. I mean, as you said, Chris, it's easy money. Like, even if it had been a ton 50, yeah, that's still better than nothing.
So when South Shields segregate, the away supporters have access to the food van, which is open at every game, but it's classed as the away outlet when it's segregated, and they've got access to hot food, hot drinks, cold drinks. There are some cans and things for an alcoholic drink, so away fans are always catered for. It's not 100%, it's not ideal if the away end has hundreds and hundreds of people in it, but at least it's something.
There's no toilets
behind the shed.
When it's segregated, they've got better toilets than we have. They've got a full toilet block to themselves.
To be fair, that's probably the same with Worthing. Their away toilets are probably nicer than ours because it's the newer ones. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, sorry, Chris.
No, I was going to say, in a nutshell, what happened there was just embarrassing and it's an insult.
Yeah. If
you're
going to be an EFL club next season, hang your head in shame.
Absolutely.
But I think it'd be interesting if someone could let us know if they've listened to this and know there is a sort of charter that clubs have to follow by and what the rules are. Because if it is, they just have to serve some form of food, then I think it needs to be raised. The game needs to be raised because then you're going to see this happen. Because, you know, if a club can cost by not having to employ two people on a match day, just shut it and put a load of tea and biscuits in, which ain't going to cost them much at all, then you could start to see this happening, especially in times of financial turmoil that a lot of these clubs are going through right now. But poor show, Chesterfield. And, we won't have to talk about you again because you're probably going to get promoted. It's yours to lose now. But an interesting one, that. So do let us know if you know anything about it. I think while we talk about it, the first relegation of the season, Bishop Stortford. Mm. Any surprises there, Chris, being in the National North?
No. The poor club, you know, shouldn't have been in the league to start with. So they didn't want to be there. And it's clear that they've perhaps... made sure that they've been relegated in the hope that next season they could go again, and then in two seasons' time, the bar gets raised a little bit further north with a couple of northerly promotions and relegations. They can get themselves back into National League South, because by the looks of things, the National League North could be slightly more northern next year if York get relegated, for instance. And Blythe stays up and Darlington stays up and that sort of thing. So I think Bishop Stortford, you know, I have no doubt that they've just done enough to do what, excuse me, to have done what they've done, and it had to happen. You know, it was never going to work, you know, never going to work.
Do you think the reason they have gone down, though, is because of the distance? Is that the sole reason? Or have they just not been able to attract the quality? Or have they just been a poor footballing side?
I think it's a mixture of everything. I think, obviously, if you are a footballer and Bishop Stortford came talk to you and said that, you know, our away games, we will be travelling over 250 miles, you know, a lot of part-time footballers would just say, no, thank you. So it's a mixture of all of that. Because you can't recruit the way you want to recruit, your team isn't as good as you wanted it to be, and you're going to struggle. I watched Shields play there a few weeks ago, and they were really poor, really poor. So I think it's been a season to forget. Hopefully, they can just, you know, draw a line under it, get back to playing more local football next year, get a better quality of player. And then go again, and hopefully, if they did go for promotion in 2 years' time, it's a more northerly and southerly national league.
We don't really them.
I think the thing is, as well, obviously, we've got a
beef.
Worthing fans, we've got a bit of beef with Bishop Stortford. But at the same time, like I said, they got promoted last season. As Chris has sort of probably part alluded to this, the fact that they're just having been able to keep their players from the promotion season. And you'd probably think bulk of that squad, plus a few additional, a bit of extra quality, would have given them a fighting chance. But
yes,
you can't keep hold of your players because of the distance involved. You're handicapped before a ball has been kicked at the start of the season. So it's no surprise they've been relegated. Like Chris says, you know, next season they've got to try and rebuild. Whether they'll be able to build a promotion-winning squad in their first season batting with Isthmian remains to be seen, because that's a competitive league. It's very competitive this season. So it'll be very interesting. Like I say, they probably felt as a club that they took a few steps forward to get internationally safe. And then the FA have kicked them in the gonads, as it were, and just put them back a good few steps there. And it might take them a few years to that national league level.
I agree, Pete.
Yeah, so they're not gonna be big fans of the FA for any foreseeable future, to be honest, are
they? No. It's almost as if their heart hasn't been in it.
Well, you look at the table, guys, and if the table was to end today, and it's gonna be pretty admirable if they can get out of it, Banbury and Gloucester are also inevitably going to get relegated from that league as well. Another two clubs that you could argue should be in the National League South, really. I mean, especially Banbury, because they're around the corner from Oxford anyway. It makes you wonder, though, those clubs go down, to Oxford go in the National North, which is a good possibility.
Well, it depends on how the other leagues go. I mean, if York, for instance, get relegated from the National League, that fills a northern spot. Radcliffe are coming up from the Northern Premier League. That fills a northern spot. If you look at who else is going to, if for instance Needham Market go up, you know, that's another southerly. You'd hope from the southern central, you'd hope maybe someone like Mickleover, who Shields have played in the Northern Premier League, they might come up. It all depends. I just think. It needs, so I think I've said this on previous occasions, where it all stems from, in some ways, the Northern League's refusal to become a feeder to what was the Alliance Premier League 45 years ago. You've got this southerly and northwesterly kind of saturation. It's going to take another decade for it to sort itself out. But if you look at Northern Premier League East, it's dominated by northeast clubs. So if these northeast clubs continue to rise, then hopefully the line that the National League draw will eventually rise as well, and it'll sort itself out. But it's going to take a few more years yet.
It's interesting you say that. Trev, am I right in thinking, scrolling through Twitter today, you replied to someone that was suggesting having three levels of... Was that on Facebook? Yeah. And it was someone saying there should be a National League Central, National League North, National League South. And I can't remember what your response was. Or was it a response to you? I can't remember.
Yeah, one promotion place. I think that's just going to encourage more overspending than there is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
And
true.
then you're talking about six getting relegated from the National League. I ain't going to vote for that. I can't even, the EFL won't vote for three down, let alone the National League. I'm going, yeah, we'll have six get relegated.
Yeah.
Doing me a favour. I mean, so, do you know what? The idea is brilliant. I love it, but it's not practical. And
No.
again, I think someone else put as well, there's always going to be a club that's right on the boundary line that's going to get chucked one side or the other and then go, yeah, you just can't please everybody. It can't cut
No.
money into it just don't work. It'd be lovely if it did, but here's what it is. You know, sometimes you just got to suck it up. I mean, I listened to an interview with can't forget who Bishopsthorpe for manager is, because he's a chairman as well, a few weeks ago. You know, and he kind of said a little bit, you know, we're not happy with what we ended up doing, but it is what it is. It's cost us X amount, quite a few grand, to be in that division because of, you know, the travelling they've had to do. But you know, it's a bit like crying over the spilt milk now in March. It is just one of those things. But you hope that it goes in their favour the next time it comes to this kind of situation. Yeah. It's not always going to be them that's dumped in it. Otherwise, you know, they've got good grounds for.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I was going to offer my sympathies to Bishop Stortford, but I'm still blocked on Twitter by them.
Oh, are they the ones that called our little friend at Worthing
short person?
Yeah.
Classless program editor, that was it,
classless
wasn't it?
Program
yeah.
editor.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, like, I couldn't remember what club that was, because they were the better team in the league that season, weren't they? Apparently.
Yeah. Do you want to know what my...
Why were you blocked, Keyboard
Pete?
I was
blocked because one of their Twitter chat was during COVID, and obviously we were trying to get games back on. And they put something like, oh, do you really want to go to football and be climbing over dead bodies in the stand?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And that. I said, I've never heard anything so ridiculous in my life. And then they blocked me.
Oh, yeah. So you weren't part of the promotion thing. It was before. You're an old school blocker, aren't you? Keyboard Pete, we'll call you now. So, Chris, as we're in the National North and we're talking about it at the moment, there's been a room. Well, I say rumors. I don't know. Can we say the name, or is that general rumor at the moment, or should we not say the name that we've heard?
That's it.
Roger Federer apparently is linked with South Shields.
I'm a Nadal man myself.
What's that?
Nadal, Nadal.
That's all about. It's all about Alcaraz now. Who's Rafael Nadal? But
It's not much under a hammer, because Chris has been making a racket about it all week.
But the thing is, he said at first, wasn't he? It was going to be a US sports star. Oh, I've just got what you said, Pete. Yeah, well done.
Come on, James, get back in the room. Come on.
Sorry, I'll get in the room.
Yeah,
that cold from Chelmsford still hurting me.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was lots of stuff flying around. That was a US sports star, but it is a so what. What we've been kind of told unofficially via the grapevine and gravy trains and stuff is that Roger Federer is part of a sports management company. They're based in Ohio. They represent tennis players and various sports stars as an agency, if you like, management. But they also invest in sports ventures that kind of meets their criteria in terms of developing people, developing areas and things. And, well, obviously, Shields are doing a great job at that with the various academies and what have you. And there were two representatives there at the game last Tuesday against Chorley, And I think the feedback was very positive. So we believe that you know they are linked with Roger Federer. He is kind of the sports star backing the thing.
Where did you find that out though? Where was that like? Who's found that nugget of information out that it's Roger Federer? Or that it could be Roger Federer, I should say.
Someone said to someone who said to someone, but it's ultimately, I think it's come from the chairman. It can't come from anywhere else.
Okay.
Father, sisters, brothers, uncles, cousins.
Yeah.
He's a mechanic. Yeah.
Or just your mum if you live in Liverpool.
Doris at the market.
Yeah, but the feedback's been positive. There's been nothing in social media to say that it's not going to be this particular company or Roger. There's no one saying this is absolute rubbish. No one said this is a lie. So just watch this space, I think.
Have they got an exclusivity or anything over it? Or is there anything posted like that?
Well, they are bound by terms of a confidentiality agreement at the moment, whilst due diligence is going on.
Of course.
So just watch this space. It would be my take on it is, as long as it's something or someone that has good sport and integrity, that's all you can ask for.
The only thing I would say as well is I hope for God, if it is, they don't do what Tom Brady came out and said, I've always been a big fan of Birmingham City. No, you haven't. Shut up.
No, you haven't.
You've never even heard of Birmingham City until you were asked to invest in them. You can imagine Federer going, oh, I've always flown over that area of Newcastle and seen South Shields down there. I saw that little football club and I always wanted to be part of that community. No, you didn't. Just shut up. But what's your take on it, though, if it was him? If it was him.
Sorry, go and say that again, James.
If it was him, what are your takes on it? Obviously, he's a tennis player. I'm sure he likes football.
He's a sports icon. He's got, you know, he's an absolute gentleman in everything that he's done on and off the court since he was a boy. So by the looks of it, it's got quite a good background, this company. It's, you know, there's a lot of integrity about it. That's all you can ask for. Something sensible, nothing stupid. I mean, I looked at the, you know, Blythe Spartans takeover a couple of months ago, looking at the guys involved there, very shady. So, if you do your due diligence and look them up, which some people have, it's a worry. Sometimes it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. And Blythe fans, I believe, should be quite concerned. So I think. Because Geoff Thompson has invested so much in it that he doesn't want his legacy to be tarnished. You know, he's become a very popular man in South Tyneside by doing what he's done. Perhaps popularity he would never have had otherwise. So he'll not want He wouldn't want anything tarnished in terms of his legacy. So, and he's already gone on record as saying that he wants to hand it over to something or someone that has the integrity that we believe South Shields FC deserves. And maybe this company can provide that, as long as it's sensible.
Yeah. Well, I'm putting it out there now, mate. You let us down with your old manager. Now, if you could get Roger Federer on the Premier Non-League podcast, I think you could retire happy and we could like put you as icon status.
I honestly don't believe we would ever see him at South Shields. There was a rumour going around last week that he was seen at Sunderland University having a look around, because Sunderland University is where our International Academy footballers study. And they would say, oh, Roger Federer was at Sunderland Uni the other day having a look around. I mean, come on.
Well, we could get him on via Zoom. We don't have to be in the same room as him. Like, you've got a bigger opportunity than any of us in this room right now of getting Roger Federer on the podcast.
I wouldn't go that far. I really wouldn't.
Yeah.
We'll have him in Chris's kitchen.
Yeah. Imagine his missus just making a cuppa for both of them in the background. Oh, do you want two sugars in that?
Come on, Rod. Yeah. Do you want two sweeteners or three?
Well, you never know. He might be doing his research. You might know that you're one of the prolific media guys at South Shields. You know, do his podcast. I want to hear positivity about him. So if you've got 5 seconds to say how much you love Roger Federer right now on the podcast, go for it, mate.
I've always found him to be a gentleman on and off the court.
There you go, Roger. Get on this podcast. besides that, two wins for you since the last recording. On the verge of the playoffs again. Something's going all right at South Shields at the moment, because it weren't that long ago you're thinking you'd be mid-table if you're lucky.
Yeah, we had a bad result against Brackley on the 9th of March. We sucker punched by a breakaway goal, and that we didn't have the stuff in knockout. It was because we were the better team on the day. We were just it was a bad goal to give away in many ways. But to bounce back, to beat Chorley, to beat Buxton away, Buxton away is a huge victory. So a bit of momentum again as we go to Chester on Saturday. And we've got Banbury away before playing Spennymoor at home on Good Friday. So it's all there to play for. You just need a bit of consistency, which we haven't had since probably October. If we can get a little bit of consistency, there's nothing stopping Shields getting into the playoffs. Whether we are equipped to go up to the National League, I doubt, unless a takeover is done and there's finance there. So I am not overly concerned about being in the playoffs. I said before the season, I was asked where I thought we would finish. I think I said 10th or 11th, perhaps, maybe 9th tops. But to be where we are, I'll take now. Because I think it's still been a very good season. I've enjoyed it immensely. And there's still some good games to go. But who knows? If the money is there, and we get there, great, go for it. But I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
I'm saying that now. Do you deep, as a fan, you probably do want to see it, but deep down, do you think you'll make the playoffs, or do you think it'll be very tight?
I think we'll probably just miss out. I think we'll end up probably 8th, 9th, something like that. Where we are now, I think, is where we'll, because we've got some tough games. I mean, Chester away, Spennymoor at home, Curzon away, Tamworth away. Although by the time we get to Tamworth away, they might have already won the league and be on the beach. So who knows? but I think playoffs, you know, would be good. Would we be good enough to actually get through the playoffs? Probably not. Having said that, you know, we've been the better team so often this season. Those games that we've lost through stupid goals. And we've been the better team. So technically we could do it, but I just can't say it. I don't think we've got enough consistency.
Interesting you say that, Pete, because I think that sounds similar to a club on the South Coast that we quite like.
Well, I think Chris has just hit the nail on the head. With our circumstances at the moment,
because that's what I thought we'd need. I was going to go via London first, Trev, so I've just bypassed you. I've done a little flyover first and we'll come back to Barnet. But it is what Chris said, though, exactly what Pete, go for it, because I thought exact same thing.
Yeah, because obviously we've been a bit stuff going on in like the Worthing chat groups, etc., forums, people bemoaning the situation and saying, oh, since Adam left, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, we had the great win at Chelmsford in the first game.
That goal.
Yeah, beautiful goal. Can be found on Twitter. Great commentary.
It's amazing that Pete's finally got his voice back, because if you listen to that commentary, it's as if someone's got a pair of pliers on his testicles.
In from the gap. Your commentary, hasn't he?
He was a hell of a goal in my defense.
I mean, I was behind the goal, and I mean, Chris, you've seen it, Trev, you see it. That's probably one of the best goals I've ever seen live. It was headed out and it just fell for him. And you know, to firstly have the audacity to have a go at it, secondly, and just right top bins, you know, you're just thinking. Bloody hell. And you know, we just went and we thought, bloody hell, because that was actually a really good game of football, Pete, wasn't it? It was end to end, second and third.
Anyone could have won it.
Yeah, and they nearly equalised a few minutes later because it hit the post, didn't they?
Yeah, free header.
Yeah. But this is why, if you've been following Worthing, as I know three people that listen to podcasts that aren't necessarily Worthing fans do, we've lost our two games since. And from my opinion, I know probably we have slightly different opinions, Pete, but something just hasn't clicked and we've played quite poorly.
I don't agree with that.
There we go. I know, because I know we said it. I think we've played quite poorly over the last couple of games.
No, we haven't. I think we played quite well in spells. We still make it stopping mistakes. Like Chris said, you know, with South Shields, you're giving stupid goals away. And we've done that all season through goalkeeper errors, defensive errors.
We've got about our 30th goalkeeper of the season now, haven't we?
Something like that.
Keep injuring them.
But we could be above old Yeovil if we had.
It was what you said on Rebel Yell, wasn't it, Pete? I listened to Pete's commentary as away on a Saturday, and Pete literally said before Saturday's game there was 15 points available, and we'd won 3 out of 15 points. If we'd won those 15 points, we would have actually been top. It's actually quite depressing to think of that, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah.
it is a bit, but
that's football.
Yeah, that's football. I don't think we've played badly by any stretch. We've been lacked a bit of creativity at times, but you know, we're still playing our possession game, keeping the ball, making chances. I think Saturday was the least chances we've made in the last three games. So there's not a big issue. Obviously, I want us to make the playoffs. I don't think we would win the playoffs, but I'd like us to make it there, like we did last season. And you can, and as I said in one of our chats, the thing is, second season in the new league, people would have probably looked at last season as a bit of a fluke. It's the first season counts. Other clubs, teams aren't used to them, but we've backed that up this season, which is, then it's always harder in your second season. You find
very it much so.
All levels of football. So I think we've done really well. Whatever happens, I think it's another good season that we can build on. We've got to get a new manager in the summer if we don't decide to go with the interim manager at the moment, Aaron. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of people. At the moment, I know players are getting contracts put in front of them for next season. So, and some players are going to be like, who's going to be the manager? So, you know, this players are in a difficult situation because they're like, well, I don't know who I'm going to be playing for. So, you know, it's a difficult one for them. So, yeah, there's a lot of sorting out in the background to do at Worthing. But whatever happens, I still think we've had a very good season.
Can I just ask Pete and James, I suppose?
I suppose. Okay. All right, mate. Yeah.
You're both Worthing fans. Has there been any noticeable kind of hangover from the loss of Hinge on the pitch?
I think there has. This is where I think the difference of opinion here is. So, you know, Pete sees a better image of the pitch than I do on a match day because I'm behind a goal. Pete's sitting in the stand, can see the whole pitch of me. One problem for me is that we've had two goalkeepers from Southampton. Both have got injured. One with a nasty break. And secondly, I think has he dislocated his thumb or something, Pete? Was it Ollie Wright? Or was it hamstring or something? But he should be back hopefully by Sunday, which we've signed Toby Ball from Wealdstone, who was an ex-Brighton player up until last season or something, and everyone, another one that came with a lot of hype, and to me he hasn't performed. But as Pete said, sloppy mistake, someone's come in not used to the game. I mean, I would have thought when we beat was it who did we play away and we won 5-1, Pete?
4-1
Weymouth. I thought when we played Weymouth and the way we played that day, I thought we get to the playoffs, we're smashing this. But how I felt it's changed over the last matter of weeks. And I think Hinch has got something to do with that. The players are unsettled. The chairman of the Supporters Association actually had a conversation with our chairman the last couple of days. And apparently the manager search is well underway, really underway. And I wouldn't be surprised at the last couple of results because I think they want to get some stability with the next season with some of the players. But I think there has been. But Pete, you're going to say it's something else, would you say, with that?
No, I think might have been a dip in confidence, but as in the general play and the way we perform on the pitch, I don't think that's changed that much apart from, you know, a bit of lack of creativity. And I know Aaron's brought a couple of his ideas in and, you know, maybe those aren't working at the moment. But overall, but I can't fault the performance. I saw people saying, oh, the players have down tools. And I'm like, well, I can't see that.
No.
And why would
they? No. Yeah, I don't think that was... I saw that in one of the chat groups. I don't think that's correct. They haven't down tools. I just think a bit unsettled, but I guess taking some positivity out of it, we just had a planning application put in for a new north stand, which looks fantastic. And our west stand has just been completed. It'll be if you watch on Sunday, Chris, you'll see it nice off to the left of the camera. It will look really lovely.
Yes, I shall have a look.
That's been officially opened on Sunday. It's a full length terrace, which is lovely. So that's a positivity. And the club are definitely, from what I understand, if the planning application for the North Stand is done, the funding's pretty much there. So we could see work start in the summer. I don't know. But they're the exciting things we can look forward to, Pete, though, can't we?
It's plenty to look forward to.
Yeah.
I, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure I want to go.
We're not ready to go up. We're not ready to go up deep down.
No.
You look at the budgets of some of those clubs in the National League. What is it, £20,000 to £25,000 a week?
Mm.
Yeah, we couldn't touch that with our credits.
No. So just what we talk about on a regular basis, it's about the longevity of your club. Don't risk the longevity of your club by going out and becoming silly.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Sustainability.
I don't know if I'd like us to make the playoffs right now. Unless we have a turn of form, I think we could be embarrassed. I just hope we're on TV on Sunday. The players might pull the fingers out and play. You know, we won't lose silly goals. Because at the end of the day, Pete, whatever we think, that's their opportunity to shine on TV. No matter what, you know, there are going to be clubs watching that if they want to further their career, some of them, which, fair play to them.
Yes, I think it's a massive shot window.
Champions League set up, apparently, been told. 70 members of TNT are coming down to Woodside Road. Broadcast truck out the front, one around the back in the Bulls Club. And it's going to be the Champions League set up because there's no Champions League or big game football on TNT this weekend. So the drone cameras coming out, we've got cameras at each end, everything. It's going to be interesting to see how it's all set up, isn't it?
Yeah, and the new stand will be to your right, Chris, not to the left, because I've been
in. Oh, of course, yeah, of course. They're filming it from, they're putting, yeah, because they normally film from the stand where Pete commentates from, but they're setting up where they used to film, actually. They took it, maybe they'll leave it as a present for us.
But with you being on TV, Pete, are you having a day off commentary? Are you going to watch, you know, watch a game?
No, I'll still be there for the people who haven't got a subscription for TNT to bring it to them whenever we help.
So you have two followers.
Fire sticks.
Don't be saying that, you'll get Daily Mail on to you.
And if you don't want to listen to TNT's commentary and listen to a totally biased Worthing one, tune into Rebel Yell.
But you have to pause it for about 30 seconds, don't you?
Yeah, you might have to pause it to catch it up. But
as long as those pliers have been released from your test angles.
Pete, don't be so horrible to one of our fantastic summer special guests, Adam Summerton. I think you should listen to Adam Summerton. You're not on the Rebel Yell podcast now.
He should ask me to be a co-commentator or something, shouldn't he?
I thought you said he was.
I was winding you up, James.
No, he did not just tell me, he told other people. I think he was touted by TNT and now he's been told he's not allowed to.
No, I told other people and I said, don't say anything to James because he's going to fall for it. And yeah.
Well, I was like, if you are on there and you call Kane Wills Kane, you'd be sacked within like 2 seconds. Anyway, watch Worthing FC versus Bath City on TNT Sports this Sunday at 3 o'clock.
We'll be back out to commentary from Rebel Yell.
Don't listen to Rebel Yell. Listen to Adam Summerton, PNLP friend. Trev, not the best couple of weeks for Barnet either, has it, really?
Well, we're still second. I ain't grumbling. Not like you lot.
Well, it's a bit like us. We're third. We're down to fifth now, I think, or something. But we were fifth, grumbling. Think. Yeah.
Trevor's just been sat back there, just sucking it all in.
He's he's quite good in my world at the moment. But a loss to Bromley and a loss to Woking. And Woking was quite a late win for them, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were quite dire, apparently, by all accounts. But I relegated Woking about 3 weeks ago when I did a piece. And all of a sudden, they're like about 5 points from my safety mark. So I don't think they're going to go down.
Did you get any abuse from any of the Woking fans going, shut up, Trevor?
No, I've actually done a few pieces this week. Funny enough, actually, right, this is how bizarre the world is. I did a piece on Rochdale and Torquay about 3 weeks ago when obviously both were on the brinks of things. And then I did one on Chesterfield last week, and then I did a further one on Torquay last week. The Torquay and the Torquay Rochdale pieces got more views by quite a few thousand more than what the Chesterfield one is. So go figure.
Fair play,
go,
mate.
isn't it?
No, that
Okay.
is, you know. But what are your views on sort of the closing end of the season now? Of those, is it just a little minor stutter, or do you think bad run of form's coming?
Well, when you've got eight players out injured that would all start, and we're still sitting in second, bit of a reality check, I think, for some people that we've got more strength in depth than we had last year, because this time last year we were limping into the playoffs, flogging players to death because we didn't have the quality. So to still be sitting where we are and having that many players out, I think last Saturday at Bromley we had 10 out, and you can't go up against a side like that who are as good as us and expect to win. So yeah, I'm no one's
So,
won more games in the league apart from Chesterfield. Go
yeah.
figure. Go
Yeah.
figure.
So, but yeah, it certainly is going to be an interesting run. I mean, Woking, I think, are just going to be on the run. They see what's happened up at York, which I think is worth touching on with obviously Adam Hinchwood being. He won on his last game, was that Tuesday night with a late winner?
No, it's
Um,
Saturday against
Saturday, that
Oldacre.
was. And I actually listened to his interview today. He actually came across as quite emotional when he's talking on it. I think when he talked about his family, have you listened to it, Pete?
Yeah, I have. You did sound
Yeah.
quite emotional.
He sounded like he was choking up a bit, saying it's been really tough because he's been getting a lot of personal abuse, which
Yeah,
is
just a bit.
it's been getting stinkers, absolute stinkers. I
Yeah.
think.
It's disgusting. It's like what we say all the time, these keyboard warriors. This is the problem with social media is if you knew what Hinch was like, you're not going to go up to him and call him a CUNT, are you, right to his face, because he would just nut you. You know, it's just disgusting the level of abuse he's got. Give the guy a bloody chance. It's his biggest challenge of his managerial career, whether we said before it was the right time to take it. But Christ, he's been there for three games, and yeah, they got spanked the other day. But personal abuse, and I think he just was overwhelmed. He sounded like he always had was going to cry.
Problem is, though, and it's what I keep saying quite often, is that everybody wants to win yesterday. They don't want to build something for tomorrow to win the day after. And not only that then has bred itself into social media, but you look at some of the clubs around them as well that have all had a bounce when a manager's come in. You take Ebbsfleet, they've lost, I don't, yeah, they've lost once in seven. They were dead and buried. I know Kiddy is still down in there, but until Phil Brown came in, they won four on a bounce. Same with five, winning five on the bounce. They've all had that straight away. It's taken Woking a little bit longer, but now they're getting it. You can understand their frustrations because they average 4,500 for a home game. They're an ex-football league club with tons of history. They've been down to the north and know how difficult it is to get back up again. They don't want to be Scunthorpe. They want to be York City in the National League. And they spent a humongous amount of money to sit in the bottom four. I'd be annoyed if I was a fan on that kind of budget that they've got. It's comparison to Chesterfield and Oldham. You
Look,
look how you look where those two clubs are. You look where York are. I don't agree with personal abuse, no. But do you know what? It wouldn't matter if it was King Kong or Godzilla sitting in the hot seat. He'd still be getting the same shit.
yeah, but I think it's
Still doesn't make
we
it
talked
right, but he would.
no, but we talked to death about it last episode when we talked about it, and I think it was the wrong time for him to go personally. This would have been if they'd been relegated, then no one could give him abuse if with a new season. But as you say, they think they're going to get that new manager bounce and everything's going to change overnight. And unfortunately, it hasn't happened for York. But they win the next two games. Everyone's loving Adam Hinchwood, guaranteed, because football fans are fickle.
Yeah, but
And I'm one of them. I can say I am.
you can level that to Dorking as well. Mark's been getting a bit of flack all season. They spanked Chesterfield the other week. They're brilliant.
Oh,
Then
amazing game.
they lost what, two in a row, and picked up a point on Saturday, and that's still in the mire as well. It's so tight down in that bottom bit. They've all had stick this year. Even Kevin Mayer was getting at Southend, having lost 10 points. Just, yeah, exactly, Pete. People just, Ben Strevens has had it at Dagenham as well. Southend and Dagenham, in my eyes, Southend are about a point away from safety. Dagenham four, I think. But back up to Blitz.
If Southend hadn't got that points deduction, they'd be in the playoff place.
No, they would have, not
Yeah,
now. No, they might
they were
just.
They're above Gateshead if they do. Yeah, they'd be just above Gateshead.
Yeah, just. Yeah,
or actually Altrincham.
Yeah, if you'd have gone back quite a few weeks, they were well in. They were well up inside there, but everyone else has picked up a few points since then. Mm. They were in danger at one point a few weeks ago, looking over their shoulders at the bottom four again. But it's what football's bred.
Trev, they could still be in danger. They could still be in danger at Southend.
No, one more point. 52 would be fine this year. Trust me.
Yeah, maybe. But where would you say we're looking at that line? One more win for Woking and they'll be all right, do you think?
You got 52 points, you're all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's my marker this year.
Do we still think York are going down, though?
Yeah. No, they don't play tomorrow night. It's only Barnet Eastleigh tomorrow night. If they win Saturday...
Eastleigh win that, yeah.
If they win Saturday... Who have they got Saturday? The top of my head. Picking up the paper they have got...
Saturday,
Bromley away.
Oh, yeah. Of course, because Hinch is going to be at Woodside Road, probably.
Hinch can do me a favour then. If they get something there, but then you look at some of the others. Dorking have got to go to Barnet. Fylde have got Oxford City, so that's 3 points for them. Ebbsfleet going to Halifax isn't easy. Southend have got Woking. Wilstone have got Kidderminster. They're all going to take points off of each other off of that bottom. They could probably actually afford this weekend against Bromley to have a free hit because of everyone else playing each other, and they're not going to lose much ground. But there's only...
But then they've got Chesterfield the next game.
No easy games in this division, whoever you're playing. No easy games. It's relentless. But I, do you know what? I picked four beginning of the season. I had Solihull Moors in the bottom four. Know where they are.
Well,
actually, Mark Carruthers has said openly that Solihull are the best team he's seen at Gateshead Stadium this season.
He obviously hasn't watched a lot of football, then. I've seen some better sides than that this year, I can tell you. They're one of the worst I've seen this year.
Well, on what he's seen at the International Stadium. on that particular night, they were fantastic. So,
but Oxford could be relegated this weekend, I think, if results go the wrong way and they lose. I think that's they'll be in the next ones. And I think the other way at top of the table, Chesterfield, when they're up, aren't they, this weekend?
No, if we don't win on Tuesday night against Eastleigh, then they need a point on Wednesday against Halifax. But if we win on Tuesday night, home to Eastleigh, Chesterfield lose, and Chesterfield lose all their remaining games, and there's a goal difference swing of plus 28, we will be champions.
Oh, Barnet are going to be champions. Yeah. Is that like me and Pete saying, what happens if, what if we had won all those?
No.
18 points.
Someone else pointed that out. I was like, Jesus, there's straw clutching. That's not straw clutching. Yeah. And that was even beyond that, I think. That was straw grasping.
Brilliant. I mean, do we think Dorking are gone?
Again.
You pick up three
and then you put pressure on everyone else.
And would Mark White stay on, do you think?
Of course he will.
Yeah, of course he will. Even if they stay up. Mm. It'd be interesting to see, though, because they know that if they stay up, they need to go full time. If they go down...
I don't want them to go down. It'd be a good derby, actually. I quite like the derby.
Well, the next three are...
We'd get him for free.
They've got Barnet, Bromley, and then Aldershot. In the next three. And I can't see them picking up points in those.
Yeah, but then they played so well against Chesterfield.
Someone beat Aldershot. Yeah, but I saw them the week before against Ebbsfleet and they leaked four. They were dire that Saturday. Mm. They can't string together, but I can't. Who did Aldershot lose to at the weekend? Can't remember who it was, but someone who I didn't expect them to lose to.
York. They lost to York.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have put money on Aldershot winning that one. There we go. Yeah, that's what it is. You can't be off your game at all for a minute, let alone 90 in the National League. It punishes you. But I've never seen a relegation race as tight as this, where it's changing from three different sides
week to week.
I basically think because York have signed Marvin Armstrong,
our friend,
just because he's a friend, just that steel in the midfield. And what he'll do, he'll drive the team forward, and I think that's a hell of an acquisition.
Yeah. Pete wants a free Grafter t-shirt, doesn't he?
Well, now he's got all the trademarks back. The only thing I would say, Pete, is it's whether he can do it consistently, because that's what he couldn't do for us.
Yeah, he wasn't great for us either. Consistency.
He could do it for 60, and then the following week he couldn't do it for 60, and he'd come off the bench the week after and only do it for 20. He can't afford to step off in all these seven games.
Yeah, he's got to be on his game.
Which I struggle season, that but... he's going to do that. To be fair, I love him. I love Marvin.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, he was a squad player for us, and now he's jumped into a relegation battle. So, see whether he's got the minerals.
I think it's very astute of Adam, to be honest, to bring a player like that.
Sensible,
in.
Yeah, sensible. But it's the consistency that they need over these next seven games, and that's the only thing.
I think it was a statement signing, and I was quite interested that he's gone up north, but I'm sure something to do with money might have had something to do with that, because, you know, it's a bit like Adam, if you're offered silly money for a contract, you're going to do it, aren't you? It's work at the end of the day. It's like, you know, we said it all careers. If you're offered two, three times what you're on now, you're going to seriously consider it. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's not playing first team at Barnet. You know, if he gets the opportunity to be first team at a National League club still, yes, they're at the wrong end of the table. But yeah, I think, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Plus, we got a fee as well. It is
quite funny, though. Like, it could, quite a few fans are like, oh, we all could have lost it. Oh, here he is. He's back again. Sorry, Trevor. Who's got crap internet?
I know. Much changed on it. You three froze.
Oh, yeah, you froze. You were like, so I know it's not me now for once. That's good. He can't use that horrible bait point to me anymore.
Once in 9 months doesn't qualify you.
What? Trev, you're the FA VARs expert in this group. Two legs, you just informed me. So the first this weekend, you say?
Yeah.
Fixtures, what are you thinking?
Romford, Great Waker in, I think, in the final.
Yeah? And you're going to be going there. You'll be at non-league day, won't you? You're always at non-league day.
Probably. It's on a Saturday, though.
Oh, is it on Saturday this year?
Yeah.
Why have they chose that? Is it something to do with FA Cup or something?
It's Euros, isn't it? Everything's pushed forward.
Oh, of course, backwards. Yeah. Euros, yeah. Forgot about that. Euros are starting. Worcester City versus Great Wakering Rovers and Romford versus Lincoln United.
Oh, no, actually, I'll go Worcester City, Romford, sorry. That's what I recommend.
Any reason?
Worcester City doing rather well at the moment. I think Romford are top four in the Essex League as well. And, yeah, just fancy them above Lincoln United, personally.
Can I check what has it always been a two-legged tie? Chris, when you were in it, was a two-legged?
Yeah, two legs.
Why is that?
It's only gone back to two legs this year. There's been one leg for the last four or five, I think. They've gone back to two this year.
Any reason for it?
Yeah, because when you've got to travel half the length of the country for players at step five, no one's got an unfair advantage then.
Yeah.
That's true. That's interesting to say. That's fair.
Thanks. That's why I'm an expert.
There we go. Expert Trev on the I think just
with an unstable internet connection. Sorry.
Yeah, there you go. Talking about I'd like to give a little shout out to Chichester City's assistant manager, Graham Gee, who's revealed he's only got months to live. It's quite sad being revealed this week. He said the support of his friends in the foot world has been a great help at a difficult time. Now you hear that. We've been to Chichester before, you know, like a nice little club. I like them, you know, to have that news and he still wanted to play football is sad, isn't it? Trev, you probably know them a little bit better, but when you found, did you know that was coming out or was that quite a shock to you as well?
No, I didn't actually. I don't know Graham personally. I've watched Chichester a couple of times, including Saturday. Obviously, he's not been able to get to a game, I think, since Christmas time as well. But no, I thought it was actually a really good interview from Steve Bone, who's the editor of the Gazette and papers round this way. But yeah, he's got two young kids as well, you know, which is never great to see. But hopefully, he's got a bit of joy still coming this way. Chichester are doing him proud at the moment, 8 games unbeaten, and look like they're going to finish in the playoffs this year as well. So, but nice actually, maybe if they manage to get that far and you know, so someone could get a stream going for the game, but they'd actually be able to watch it.
That'd be good. I'm sure it would happen. We could go down with our camera and just.
Trevor's rose again.
I love this. This is absolutely beautiful because the amount of stick that he gave me.
It's not beautiful because you're going to have to edit it all out.
Ugly bastard, isn't he? That's all right, because it's easy because I just see where it goes dead. But yeah,
but it Graham, doesn't go dead because that'll be, I suppose, weird. Go on, Carol.
Graham and the guys at Chichester, it's going to be a tough few months, but yeah, let's hope you're doing proud and get a promotion and dedicate it to him. That'll be, I'm sure, a goal of all the club have. But talking about unbeaten runs, I said it was a jinx because you did it to did it before, but Trev said it's not because they had a couple of wins and then a draw. But Farnham Town, what are you doing? You drew a game. Whoa, how dare you? That was it was going to come. I mean, to go the whole season winning every game would have been an almighty challenge. I mean, they're still unbeaten. I mean, with one draw,
invincibles.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? I mean, do you think they're starting to come under too much pressure?
I know Harry said when we spoke to him they hadn't changed that many players. They haven't got a 23s to fall back on, so they've literally got to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we'd like to see Farnham do well. We'd like to see him get that record because I think, has it been done since Arsenal?
Probably.
Good question.
Ooh, there's one.
Where's Statman Gaz when we need him?
Yeah.
Ill, on his sick bed tonight. Something to find out. Let us know. Is Trev looking it up now?
What's that? No, I was looking out for my shout out, but I can't think what I've done with it.
It got deleted when the internet froze, didn't it?
No, I got deleted when I transferred it over on my phone tonight. I think it has disappeared. Never mind.
So you've forgotten your shout out?
Oh, no, I've got it. Oh, no, that wasn't it. Yeah, I do remember it was a goalkeeper, James Bracken, I think it is, at South Park Rygates, played 600 career games. I think that was it.
Was he Corinthians?
He was Corinthian Casuals. You are correct, Peter.
There we go. Yeah. Nice lad. He interviewed him the once.
Is that the one when they beat us? And you said, like, you went and interviewed him and there was a picture of you.
Yeah.
And I was fuming at you. I was like, why are you interviewing the away goalkeeper?
I was because he was the manager as well at the time, I think.
Oh, yeah, he was his player manager.
And I was, they dismantled us, so I was complimenting him.
I was like, shut up, Pete. I'm leaving this now because I was spitting feathers. Right. I'm just looking here. Right.
You got to doff your cap sometimes when a team is.
Oh, yeah. We were shocking, weren't we? Right. In Africa, there's been quite a few teams, Saudi Arabia, but. Europe, Arsenal, Juve, Celtic, 2016-2017. But that's not English football. That's you domestic, but you know, it's not domestic.
So we could have two this year then.
So Celtic were the last British club to do it. Rangers did it in 2020-2021, actually. They won up Celtic, but yeah. Gibraltar, you could count that, can't you? Lincoln Red Imps. They're British territory. They also won the Rock Cup. Wow. But no, I don't think there has been in England since Arsenal. So fair play. Someone does it, you know, definitely something to celebrate. And then you'll get all the naysayers going, it's only non-league football. Yeah, but you go and try and play non-league football unbeaten. So that's a challenge. Guys, any other shout outs? Chris, from you, mate.
Just my wife Lisa celebrated her 50th birthday last week. So it's a
happy birthday, Lisa. Happy birthday, Lisa. Is she getting a delivered kissogram from Roger Federer? Or a signed tennis racket?
She's just getting balls.
I think if I was going to do that, I would probably.
That's something that would be on the Simply Lovely blog, wouldn't it?
Giovanni off the Strictly. She likes him. I'll get him.
Okay.
Cheaper.
Well, just say love you, Fed.
She's been on stage with him, so she's halfway there.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Pete, anything from you, mate?
Obviously, Worthing on Saturday, on Sunday on TNT Sports. If you want an alternative coverage commentary, just go to rebelyell.live.
Said no one. Said no one ever. Anyway, Trev,
I've got to get a plug in, haven't I?
No, I was just going to say the TNT cameras roll on to show Barnet after that, so they restore the quality issue by Good Friday.
No, it's the South Coast there, mate. South Coast there, that would be it. A bit of South Coast there that will make it the quality. I'm sure we won't. I just hope we turn up and perform.
That's all I'll say when we're on TV.
Actually, no, I don't want Ollie Pearce to score a hat trick because then we're really screwed if he scores a hat trick on national TV.
Called up, is he?
No, he scored last. He scored on Tuesday.
Has he?
Saturday. He scored a penalty and he scored last week as well. Yeah. But he hasn't been scoring hat tricks. That's probably because he hasn't scored a hat trick in a while.
Well, I think it's more the goals against Colm. I keep seeing, oh dear. Oh,
no, he didn't. He didn't score on Tuesday. Yeah, no, he didn't score on Tuesday. So he scored on. Scored on Saturday. He scored a penalty. But I'm looking forward to it. It'd be interesting. It'd be nice to see Worthing on the national stage, new stand, everything like that. So if you want to support our PNLP friend Adam Summerton, then do tune into TNT Sports.
He might not be commentating, though.
Apparently he is. Apparently he is.
Is he? Definitely.
Yeah. At Virgo's there as well.
New Virgo would be.
I'd say I love James's support, you know.
Well, buy one of my T-shirts as well. Buy one of the T-shirt, rebelyell.live. You can listen to Pete's commentary and buy a T-shirt at the same time.
Yeah, I've been plugging your T-shirts and I'll stop doing it unless you support me.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. But it hasn't worked. I haven't had a sale in 2 weeks.
That's more the quality of the T-shirt.
Yeah, they're falling apart already in the wash. Shrunk in the wash. Anyway, on that bombshell, thanks, guys. Been a good episode. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Good luck. Support Non-League Day on Saturday and Sunday, Non-League Weekend. Get out, support your local Non-League team or a team that you haven't been to before. Share it around. Share the podcast. Get your friends. If they're going to go out to a Non-League game this weekend, send them our podcast our way and have a few more listeners. But share, do comment, do tweet us. We do love getting your comments, so thank you very much. And for myself, James, Trev, Pete, Chris, bonsoir. Bonsoir, Roger Federer. Oui. Dankeschön.
Au revoir. Au revoir.
Be seeing you.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.